Hi, I'm Michelle from YFS and welcome to our podcast series on stuff you need to know about the law. Today we have Nazia and Rebecca from Wotton and Carney with us. Hello, welcome.
Hi, how are you going?
Hi, Michelle.
All right, so through the series so far we've had a chat about employment, so the getting a job and how it's essentially a contract between the employee and the employer. Then we've had a chat about when things go wrong in the world of employment, debt and discrimination. So today we're going to have a chat about contracts, which I know we've just been having a chat actually, and I understand that contracts when you're doing a law degree is a very sort of a full semester subject, right? So
yes.
Let's see if we can break that down to a few minutes, shall we?
We'll try and get to the basics.
Fantastic. Sure. Before we get started, I just want to say that the information we talk about today is not intended as legal advice. So if anyone thinks that they're in a situation where they do want to get further information or legal advice, we'll provide some links to places that they can go to for further information. So let's get started. Contracts. What do we need to know? What are they? Let's start there. What are contracts?
Well, I think at its core, a contract is an agreement with two or more parties where someone promises to do something in exchange for something in return. And the key thing is that it's legally enforceable.
Okay.
So that's a really big difference between just a general agreement to do something, but something where the parties to the contract have intended that there will be legal consequences if someone backs out or if something goes wrong.
Okay. So where you talk about just like an agreement where you and I kind of go, yep, okay, we're going to do this and then we'll do that. That's sort of like an agreement, right? And it's informal.
Yes.
Well, what's the difference? Like, does there have to be something written down or can it be a verbal thing?
Sure, it can absolutely be verbal. So sometimes people think, oh, well, it wasn't in writing, so I'm not what's called bound to that contract.
Yep.
Absolutely not the case. We do several cases where there's nothing in writing. But if there's a verbal agreement or an agreement by conduct, you can have a contract formed. So let's have we'll have a talk about the building blocks of a contract. That's probably a good way to go about it. So for there to be a legally enforceable contract, there has to be what's called offer and acceptance. So someone has to make an offer. So they might say, hey, if you pay me this amount of money, I will do this thing in exchange. So you might have, I'll sell you this toolbox for $100.
Okay. Does it have to have a price attached to it? Or because I suppose in my mind, I'm kind of thinking, you know, in this wonderful world of social media and stuff like that, you and I get together, we've been chatting about this fantastic app or something like that we're going to design and develop together.
Definitely doesn't have to be a price.
Right.
It does have to be an exchange.
Okay.
So there has to be what's called consideration, where you say you're going to do something or give someone something or hand over legal rights to something, maybe do some work. We've talked about employment contracts. But in its essence, you say you'll do something in exchange for someone else doing another thing. So that might be making a payment of money. It might be that they perform a service for you or something like that.
Yep.
But there does have to be a bargain between two people struck. There has to be an exchange of that. There definitely has to be consideration. So in our example where we're talking about the toolbox, the consideration is the $100.
Okay.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be money. And this is why when we say there's a whole semester on this, there's a lot that goes into what consideration is. But essentially, if you have an agreement, if you have a bargain with someone where you've said, I'll do something in exchange for you doing something else, and both of you have intended that that would be a legal relationship, that there would be legal consequences if someone departed from their promise or didn't keep their promise, then that's the situation where you might go from just an informal agreement between friends to an actually enforceable legal contract. And when you're talking about things like a monetary value or things like in writing, that's because one of the fundamental parts of a contract is that there has to be certainty, which means it's a legal term, but it basically means that there has to be some clarity between the parties about exactly what's agreed and exactly what's going to be done and what the boundaries are of that agreement and what the consequences will be if something goes wrong.
Now, Rebecca, I was just watching you sitting there. I feel like you have something to say.
Oh, look, just on the consideration point, I was going to chime in with that notion of value. There needs to be some value in mm-hmm. that exchange. Mm-hmm. That's important. That was all, and nothing groundbreaking. Yeah,
but I think it's important. I think that's where I struggle when you talk about contracts, mm. and particularly if there's not a written one.
Mm.
And I suppose when you're talking value, it doesn't necessarily have to be a recognised value there. But if I was getting together with someone that I knew who had a particular skill set and I have a different skill set and we're going to exchange mm-hmm. the value of those skill sets without necessarily money involved, then that's, I suppose, where you're talking about a value. Like it sounds really complex, right? And I suppose how do people know if they've entered into a contract or an agreement without...
I think that's where the intention comes in.
Right.
There definitely has to be an intention there that you would be bound, that you're not talking in hypotheticals, you know, it's not insignificant. I think the types of contracts that we see in day-to-day life are quite a lot more obviously contracts. They're things like mobile phone contracts where you say, I would like a mobile phone, please, and I am prepared to pay X many dollars. And a phone company, a carrier like Vodafone or Optus will say, we're prepared to give you a phone in exchange for this many dollars per month mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be, and we'll give you a phone service and we'll give you some data. And these are all of the things. And the requirement is you have to pay us at this time in this way.
Yep.
However that might be. There's usually a written contract that goes alongside that. So that's first really indication that is a contract. you do start getting into these real grey areas sometimes where when you start chipping away, okay, maybe there's no contract and maybe one of the parties didn't necessarily think this was that big of a deal mm-hmm. or maybe there was no consideration or no easily identifiable consideration.
Yeah.
You do start getting into these grey areas, but that's where the lawyers come in. And that's where you start thinking about, hey, maybe this didn't quite get to the threshold. And I suppose the key is being able to recognise that at some point agreements do go from just informal chats to something that you can really be held mm-hmm. to and that there may be legal consequences. And if you feel like you're in that situation or maybe someone is asserting that, no, we had a contract and I relied on that and I'm relying on you and now you owe me this mm-hmm. and there are consequences for that, definitely something where you should seek legal advice and maybe reach out to YFS or reach out to a community legal centre, do some online research, just to be able to recognise that, hey, maybe there's a possibility that we did have a contract. Of course, if you've got a written contract and it says contract on it, you can proceed on the basis that it is one.
Yeah, that makes it so clear, doesn't it? And I suppose, you know, if you're uncertain, ask if there should be some paper.
Absolutely. And I think that really ties in with if you think that the situation you're dealing with is important to you, our recommendation is always to put something in writing, create a written contract. And it doesn't have to be a formal legal agreement. I think that Rebecca in some of our previous podcasts was talking about doing things by text message or by exchange.
Yeah.
If you've got something in writing that can be used as evidence of a written contract and it basically just records the parameters of your agreement, it records what the exchange is going to be, what someone's going to do or not do in exchange for you doing or not doing something else. And the recommendation is always, best case situation, have a written agreement if you can.
Yeah.
But know that the absence of a written agreement doesn't necessarily mean that contract doesn't exist.
Okay.
So if you, for instance, if a friend says, listen, I know you need a place to stay and you can stay in my spare room and you can just pay me $50 a week to stay here and you don't need to pay for, don't worry about paying for electricity and the phone, everything else separately. Feel free, stay as long as you like.
Yep.
And you say, great, that sounds really good. That would really help me out.
Yeah.
that might go, at the beginning, that might just be a friend lending you a helping hand for a week or two. Mm-hmm. And you kind of go, I don't want to overstay my welcome. They're just letting me stay here while I find an apartment.
Yep.
But if you're going to be relying on that as your place to live, your accommodation, it would be a situation where you might want to put that in writing so that you can record, okay, in exchange for me paying you $50 a week, this is what I will be entitled to. You'll let me stay here in this room.
Yep.
You're not going to invite anyone else to stay in that room and kick me out. Mm-hmm. You'd be able to use this car park or not have to pay any extra. Or maybe it's, okay, the $50 only covers this, and if I want to use the electricity, if I want to use the phone, I will pay you extra for this amount of money. That's the sort of situation that it goes from maybe being an informal agreement at the beginning to one where it's a contract later. Yeah. And the key is there, if you want to be able to assert a right later on, the more evidence that you can have that shows this was intended to be a legal, a legally enforceable situation, the better. The more evidence you have, the better.
And I suppose in some situations, don't feel funny about requesting it being written down either. I think that, you know, you're not only, you're protecting yourself and you're also protecting the other party.
Absolutely.
And you're giving yourselves a foundation of an understanding, right? And it's a really clear understanding. When something's written, it's very hard to misunderstand.
Absolutely. Yep. And it can be as simple as you sending a text message to your friend saying, hey, just so we're on the same page, this is what my understanding is of our discussion. Yep. I will do X, Y, and Z and I will pay you this much money. Mm-hmm. And in return, this is what will happen.
Yep.
And just say, does that align up with your understanding? Yeah. And if they write back, yes, it does, great. If they don't, that gives them an opportunity to clarify. And I think that it can be really awkward sometimes if you are dealing with friends or even family. You know, maybe you've borrowed money from friends or family. You might not want to ask them to put something in writing about that, or maybe you're loaning money to family or friends. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's really important to protect your own rights, to make sure the other person's rights are protected as well. If everyone is on the same page, that really limits the possibility of dispute later on, and that can actually protect your relationship that you have, because no one's feeling like they're being treated unfairly, or it becomes really obvious if you are being treated unfairly, and then you know to end that relationship.
Yeah, yep. So, okay, so we've got contracts in place. Everyone's pretty clear, whether it's a written contract or not. Everyone's clear. There is an agreement. We have a good understanding of what that covers. How do we get out of it if it no longer suits us? Can we get out of it?
I think we'll give you a very legal answer, which is depends. It depends on the situation, as is always the case.
Yep.
If you have a written agreement, usually, and particularly with these more formal contracts, like your mobile phone contract, maybe a lease that you've entered into, there will usually be terms in that agreement that says the situations in which you can get out of it and what you might need to do to bring about that entitlement to bring that contract to an end. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, your mobile phone plan might have a certain time period where it's in place and what will happen after that time period. Maybe you have to give notice. Say you've signed up to a gym membership.
Yep.
They try and sometimes trap you in there with some of the terms, but you know, you might have to give 30 days notice, and then at the end of that, as long as you've paid your amounts, you can walk away.
Yep.
Sometimes contracts can be ended by agreement in that way because the term is there.
Yep.
Sometimes you can talk to the other side, talk to the other party and say, listen, this no longer suits me. I want to walk away from this. What can we do? And you can vary that contract by agreement. So you can change the terms. There are a lot of other situations where a contract might come to an end. You can choose to end a contract if someone on the other side does not keep their promise. So if they don't meet their bargain that they signed up for, you're not obligated to stay in that contract. You can terminate that contract and say, this no longer suits me. You've done the wrong thing. You've breached this contract because you promised to do a thing and you did not do the thing. So I'm actually walking away from this relationship and I will enforce my legal rights later down the track.
Okay.
So you might not be obligated to be party to that contract anymore. Mm-hmm. You can have what's called frustration, which, again, is another legal term that we would ordinarily spend 3 weeks talking about.
Yeah, right.
But in short, it means that sometimes a contract is frustrated from being able to happen. So if you, say, bought a ticket to a show and then COVID happened and that show couldn't happen anymore, they couldn't hold the show.
Yep. Which happened.
Which happened many, many times and is still happening. And that event organizer might say, listen, we've had to push back the show, or we've had to cancel the show, and you paid for a ticket. You said, I will pay $100 for this ticket in exchange for being able to see this band or being able to see this show. Now, all of a sudden, that just can't happen.
Yep.
So that end of that bargain hasn't been held up, but that person hasn't necessarily breach that contract. It's just that the circumstances just couldn't allow it to happen. So the event organizer might say, look, we're moving the show, we're delaying it by 6 months, we're moving it to this time. If you can't make it, we'll give you a refund. Yep. Otherwise, we'll give you a new ticket for that. So there are ways that you can get out of a contract like that. There's always options to get out of a contract.
Yep.
The other thing, sometimes, if it seems like all else has failed, sometimes the most basic starting point is to look at whether a contract legally existed in the first place, because sometimes a contract can be void. So if you, for instance, entered into an agreement, but someone misrepresented to you what they were going to do and they induced you into being into that contract, they misled you and you relied on that, sometimes that means a court, if you were going to try and enforce that contract or try and enforce your rights under that and you took it, you went down the legal route, a court might say, actually, that contract just never got off the ground. It just wasn't right for that person to have done that thing. There are also more technical ways that a contract might not exist. So, for instance, a person might not have had the legal capacity to enter into a contract. They might have been duped into that. There might have been some duress. Maybe you were forced or blackmailed into a contract. Legally, there are ways that you can protect yourself like that. Another really important thing, I think, for our youth listeners who are under the age of 18 is that contracts with a person under the age of 18, with a minor, sometimes are not enforceable by reason of the fact that they're with a minor. So if they're for a basic necessity, then they'll be enforceable and that's valid. But if it's for a luxury item, even you absolutely cannot enter into any sort of gambling arrangement, for instance. There's a lot of requirements around that. So I think the key thing is if you find yourself in a situation where you've signed up for something and someone is trying to get money out of you and rely on a contract, you need to really think about, was there a contract there and do they have rights that they can enforce against me? And what rights do I have to be able to walk away from that? But by the same token, you might want to enforce some rights to say, no, we had a contract and you need to do this thing that you said you were going to do for me. And if you do think that you're in a situation where it went beyond an informal agreement, you need to start looking for avenues, get some advice about ways in which you can maybe enforce your rights or protect yourself.
Okay. So essentially, like most of the things, particularly when it comes to the things around the law, if you think that this might relate to you, if you have questions or you want more information, I think it's just really important to find places that you can contact, explain your situation, and let people who are the experts in this area provide you with what you can do, what you can't do, and what your obligations are and what the other people's obligations are.
Yes, absolutely.
So the community legal centres, I know, you know, we've talked about community legal centres or touched on them, and they're basically an opportunity for people to access legal information and advice with no cost. So if people want to access community legal centres, the website is clcs.org.au. So that's a one that you'll be able to enter in what area you live in, and they should be able to tell you if there's a community legal centre near where you are. What other places, if they're wanting some information, can they go to, would you suggest? But I suppose particularly in relation to contracts.
I think a good place to start is looking at what particular type of contract it is. So there's often regulatory or governing bodies that will deal with particular types of products, for instance. So you might have, if it's a contract for sale, you might look at, say, the ACCC website. There's a lot of government resources that are available to you. If it's an employment contract, so we've already talked about employment and all of the options that you have dealing with an employment contract. But certainly I think that even an organisation, you know, like YFS is just to get a handle on where the best place to start is, reach out, speak to someone, and they can point you in the right direction.
Don't sort of not do anything about it just because you don't know where to start. And so the YFS website, yfs.org.au, or you can give them a call on 3826 1500. I feel like I, again, completely underestimated how complex contracts are. Really interesting, and I can understand why how people don't necessarily have their head around understanding contracts and requirements and obligations under a contract. Thank you so much for your time today.
No problem. Thank you.